Hello, Internet.
There. It's the Jay and Ellen show.
It's Jay and Ellen. Ellen and Jay. You're listening to the dulcet tones of Ellen and Jay in the evening. We'll be serving up a light contemporary rock and adult entertainment. Wait, no.
No.
Face for radio and a voice for blogging. That's what they always said about me.
Yep. Well, there you go. It's a good thing you're in print media.
Yeah.
Actually, but you have, they take pictures of you.
Yes, they do.
The question is, how much Photoshopping gets done on those pictures? Because I've worked for a magazine publisher. That I know that there is there hasn't been a picture published in the magazine in the last at least 20 years that has not been Photoshopped.
I honestly don't know. I know they color correct everything, and they do whatever it is the graphic designers do for everything. Right. So, I mean, like even like product shots.
There's no like mustache enhancement or.
No, I don't have mustache extensions. Yeah, no, no.
I'm pretty sure there's a Photoshop add-on for mustache enhancement.
It's the mustache tool.
Yeah, mustache tool, exactly.
Over in the corner.
I believe Brita is joining us.
Hi, Brita.
Hello.
Weird is mysteriously absent. He may be having a child.
I had to give a stunt hello, Internet.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was... I'd give it a 4.
That's fine.
It wasn't very enthusiastic.
It wasn't. It's because I'm all stuffed up. If I say it too loud, I'll end up not being able to use my keyboard.
Do you have a cold or are you?
Allergies. Oh, there's something floating around.
Yep.
It's like the last.
Mold or something.
Okay, yeah.
Before we actually start, I just saw this.
But are we started?
Yeah, we're recording and we're live. So we're going, right. But we haven't played the intro music yet. But this sounds like the beginning of one of those, you know, Dear Penthouse letter things. The Daily Mail headline, Russia locks all female crew in space simulator for 8 days.
Bow, sounds like Barbarella. Bow.
Exactly.
You've seen Barbarella, right? The whole beginning sequence of Barbarella.
Yep.
Yeah. I used to watch the Barba Papas. Does that count?
No.
Oh, no. You need to watch Barbarella. It's Jane Fonda, but it's worth watching.
She broke the, what was it, the Orgasmatron or something?
The Orgasmatron, yeah.
She broke it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anywho.
We had some interesting things happen this past week.
We personally or we collectively?
We collectively.
Mm-hmm.
We're all feeling the burn.
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm burn free.
No.
They have an ointment for that.
It's a cream.
Yeah. How about we play the music and get this rolling? It is Thursday, October 29th, 2015. This is episode 171 of the Squirrel Report. And I did check the audio, like, before the show, and it's sounds good. So,
good.
Oh, good.
Yep. No USB. Whatever the hell that was.
This would be the one show that comes off perfect. And we're going to like stand around like the beginning of King of the Hill. Yep.
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 Already the boy ain't right.
Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House.
Ron Paul
Ron
Ryan.
Paul. Yeah, Ron Paul
that
Ryan.
That was scary, Alan.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan, most notable for being on the losing ticket last time around.
Right.
And something else. He's from one of the Midwest states.
I was actually surprised that it happened, and I was surprised that there wasn't more divisiveness.
Yeah, the GOP showed a surprising lack of a surprising amount of cohesiveness this time.
Yeah,
and dare I say it, they actually didn't let the media choose the speaker this time.
Right. Or apparently, well, and that's what I was going to say earlier. It looks like, and this is, well, hang on, let me, I think that's weird popping in.
You just popped on.
Know, there's a lot of people that, oh, Paul Ryan, he's, you know, not in the establishment. And I'm like, he was the VP candidate.
Yeah. Here's a tip. He's a current politician. He's part of the staff.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know where this. Plus, here's the thing. It was pretty much unanimous with a few token no votes.
Ron Paul voted for Chewbacca.
So, you know, there's no universe that there's a upset by a not establishment guy to be Speaker of the House, like, ever.
You know what I think put Ryan over the top? It's that Eddie Munster widow's peak. I really do. I think that's it. They're like, you know what? We have not had a Speaker of the House that looks like Eddie Munster. So it's his time.
Yeah. Well.
Now, I just looked up his specs. No.
He has a V8. Hello,
he's
internet.
He's only a year older than me. It's now I feel like a real loser. He's Speaker of the damn House. And
oh, yeah, he's 45.
Yikes.
He's a young guy.
He's the Speaker of the House, and you work for the NRA. I'm sorry, which job would anybody take?
Yeah.
I am.
Shut up, Jay.
I am Hillary Clinton's number one enemy. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Not ISIS, no. Not Al-Qaeda, no. Not Vladimir Putin, nope.
A cis male gun owner.
Yeah.
What I want to know, and what I have not seen anywhere, is why suddenly Boehner has decided to resign from everything. I mean, not just the speaker. He resigned his seat.
Yeah.
Like, whoosh, suddenly, with really cancer. No explanation.
My guess is cancer.
That would be my guess as well.
It's got to be some really serious medical problem, or you know,
dude smokes like a chimney.
Yeah,
seriously, you think it's self tanner that makes him look so tan? No.
He smokes like tanned his hide
with cigarette smoke.
He smoked himself to it with a nice smoke layer.
He's like a brisket. He's like a brisket.
But also, he's been known to take a drink under extreme social pressure.
Yeah.
Like somebody saying hi.
Yeah, exactly.
He's from Ohio, you know.
At least him and Barack have something common.
Smoking?
So, yeah.
Well, I guess they used to, like, go on smoke breaks.
Smoking
together.
In a dark tan? I don't know.
They are kind of the same color, actually.
Yeah.
And being extremely liberal.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
But yeah. Well, yeah. And of course, I still love the fact that Obama keeps saying, oh, no, I quit smoking.
Oh, please.
And then gets like, there was that thing, what was it, the French prime minister, where somebody released a candid photograph of the two of them, and he's out on the balcony, and he's got a pack of butts in his hand.
He's got it rolled up in his shirt sleeve.
That would imply that President Urkel is cool.
Yeah, can't do that.
Don't insult Urkel that way, please.
So I'm all excited, so I want to go first.
All right.
Okay.
We want to let you.
I went to a Renaissance festival this past weekend.
Congratulations.
In the rain. And it was muddy. So I'm thinking it was kind of like historically accurate. Walking through muddy streets. There was even some horse poop. So
there you go. Perfect.
It was very, you know, there was, you know, women. Now, here's the part I don't think may or may not have been historically accurate. There was a lot of pushed up cleavage on display.
Actually,
and the women too.
Yeah. Actually, I think in some now, I'm going to have to go back and fact check myself, but I believe at some point, like, cleavage was so pushed up and exposed in the past that actual, like, nipples were exposed. Wow. Don't quote me because I'm not 100% sure. I think I read this somewhere that, like, actual boobs just were, like, hanging out. I have to look this up now, but... But it may be like the Ren Fairs are tame in comparison. It
might be. That would be funny. Because there is the one I went to was the Texas Ren Fest, Texas Renaissance Festival, which I didn't know until I got there is the largest Renaissance festival in the U.S.
18th century French fashion. 18th century French.
Okay, so 1700s.
It's post-Renaissance.
The tits were out.
All right. Well, they were out at this, let me tell you, there is definitely an undercurrent of kink at the Renaissance Festival. I saw lots of people with like collars on, and various other leather things. Some men,
there's a lot of leather, some women, in Renaissance spirit.
Yeah. Leather corsets, leather things.
Things. Belts.
Yeah. Chainmail bikinis.
Yeah.
I don't think the chainmail bikinis are period costume.
yeah, especially the ones that are like one strand of chain.
Oh, apparently in Elizabethan times, the boobs were exposed as well.
All right then.
Yeah.
Why are we not experiencing this trend again? Why?
We got the ultra low rise jeans where you're almost seeing vaginal cleavage.
Yeah, you've seen one camel toe, you've seen them all.
That's not true. So, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. My daughter enjoyed it. Even though
Did
it was
you see
raining,
the shows?
I saw some. They didn't have. They weren't. They were kind of. Like it was raining.
Yeah.
So the shows, some of them we watched some, they had some nice little, you know, bands and stuff playing. We saw a couple of like wedding procession type things where people were walking, you know, they had like they look like the Vatican guards, you know, walking through the, streets yelling, you know, make way for the bride, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
apparently were people getting married there?
I don't know. There was people in horse-drawn carriages and, but I was thinking, man, the rain, what a nightmare. And oh my God.
It's like rain, wedding day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rained on my wedding day.
But, yeah, my daughter wants to go back. She enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was my first one I've ever been to. I'd like to go see it when it's not raining.
Right. You have to see the joust, which is like.
Yes, fun. They did not do the joust when we were there. They were doing some kind of combat thing, but there was only one guy. And so I was kind of like, how's that going to work? But it was rainy and muddy. So there's probably a safety issue.
I bet it was kind of like that demonstration they did at the NRA thing at the Cold Steel booth.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, at the Cold Steel
booth. The Cold Steel booth.
One man.
Yeah. Lynn combat. Thompson getting really, really sweaty.
It may have been Lynn Thompson. I don't know.
Maybe. He seems like a Ren Fair kind of guy.
Yeah,
certainly some of the freaktastic creatures that are crawling around with him did.
Yeah, we could see Buck Medley at a Ren Fair, huh?
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So the weekend they apparently, and I didn't know this, but they have. And I don't know how this compares to other Renaissance fairs, but apparently it's on the weekends, and each weekend has a theme. So the weekend I was there was pirate themed. So it was lots of pirates wandering around.
Any peg legs?
I did not see any peg legs. I did see one prosthetic arm thing, but I don't believe it was real because it was on a guy dressed up like a steampunk German.
Okay.
oddly specific.
Well, yeah,
I always think of Ren Faire as kind of not period accurate. I kind of think of them like fantasy novels come to life.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I got.
Because it's you've got like girls walking around with fairy wings, and you've got the steampunk guy, and you've got the
lots of exposed skin.
And I don't maybe in Texas,
my daughter was scandalized. It was. She's 15.
You need to put on clothes, Alan.
It was funny because she wants to go back, and the weekend she wants to go back is Barbarian weekend. And
there
I was like, oh, well, you might be even more scandalized. And she said, well, maybe it'll be cold and they'll have to put on coats.
Aww.
Something tells me that those people are itching to wear their scantily clad chainmail bikinis so that even if it's cold, they're going to grin and fucking bear it.
I'm sure. But yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it a lot. I've never been to one before. I had a good experience, even though it was pouring, it was raining and muddy and gross. But it was still fun. Ate a delicious cheesecake on a stick, which I'm sure is not period accurate.
Yeah.
No, but you have to get food on a stick of some sort.
Well, yeah.
And the big damn turkey leg.
I did not get a turkey leg. Actually, the thought of a turkey leg just does not appeal to me at all.
Soup in a bread bowl.
But they did have lots of like jerky on a stick. They had jerky and all kinds of other meats.
Meat on a stick.
Yeah.
Soup in a bread bowl. I'm telling you, it's the way to go.
And so lots of little shops with selling like pointy, stabby, slicey, weapony things. No guns allowed.
Really?
Of any kind. Not even like replica cap and ball.
How do you have pirates without
swords and stuff? Apparently, swords are okay, but no
firearms.
No firearms.
Not a reproduction flintlock.
Nope.
That makes acres of sense.
I know. That's
in
that's,
Texas,
but it's well, in it's Texas. It's private property. They can do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was private property rules, so it's not. This is not rule of law.
No, this is the land they have it on is private property, and they
so they can politely ask you to leave if they discover your carry piece.
Right.
Say no more.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Are you going to wear your kilt next time?
I might.
Oh God, your poor daughter.
Are you going to push up your cleavage?
No.
His nut cleavage.
Nor will I be wearing my chainmail bikini.
Chainmail bikinis, just for the record, kind of pinch a little bit.
Chainmail in general pinches.
Chainmail kilt.
I have a full coif.
A full what?
Coif.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
That's what goes over the head.
Oh, okay.
Oh, coif.
Yes. Huh.
Aren't you supposed to wear like a quilted thing underneath that? You're not supposed to put the chain mail directly on your skin.
Technically.
I'll put it out. Let me drop it in chat. We've got a picture.
Oh, dear.
It's not.
Oh, that's right. You've been to lots of Renaissance fairs.
Yes. Yes, I have. And this is disconnected from the IFC network.
Oh.
I think it was the size of your URL.
I think the IRC server has rejected Jay's post.
Yeah, I didn't realize how ridiculous it was. So
yeah, it says excess flood, which usually means that you just dumped way too much text in the chat at one point.
Yep. That's all right.
Sorry.
Flood the chat room, Jay.
Anyway, so I have worn the chainmail coif. And it pinches. It really does.
Did you wear it in combat?
No, I did not wear it in combat.
Did you wear it in Nam?
Yeah. I wore it the same time when I was in Nam.
I thought about wearing a kilt, and then I thought, you know what? I don't have a period kilt. I have modern kilts.
Nobody cares at the Ren Faire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Just strap on a pair of fairy wings.
Seriously. Skeleton fairy wings.
I paid good money to see Alan in a set of fairy wings. I'm just saying.
I'm the motherfucking tooth fairy.
That would be funny.
I would pay money.
Yeah, I'm the tooth fairy, damn it. I did see a guy. This was funny. I did see a guy in like full up samurai armor.
Oh yeah.
Except he had leggings and arm things and a helmet and a Star Wars T-shirt.
Sure. Nice.
Yeah. Of course. Oh yeah. There's always one of those guys. It's either a Star Trek uniform or. a stormtrooper, or you know, they're a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, or
there was a few. I saw a couple of people doing a Doctor Who thing.
There, I bit-laid it.
That's Doctor Who is period correct.
Oh, Doctor Who is always period correct.
Of course, he's a time lord. Every period. Duh.
Jay's watching Doctor Who now.
All right.
I am because my daughter.
So this is yet another series that Jay had to be convinced to watch.
Well, it's because I watched it in the 80s when it really wasn't all that good. It was kind of boring and I kind of got turned off.
You watched it on PBS. You watched the Tom Baker.
Yes.
Or whoever came after him. And no, that's nothing like the modern.
It's also ridiculously British, you know? So like, you know, anytime there's firearms, it's just horrifically bad. Bad. It hurts me.
Yeah, but you gotta like Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, man.
Dinosaurs on a Spaceship was very cool, especially when you realize that the what the hell was the guy's name? Solomon was the same actor who played Filch in the Harry Potter series. It was kind of funny.
I don't know you what all are those things are.
Out-nerding yourselves tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to point out that Alan, in the space of 1 year, went to Comic-Con
for the first time.
A Ren Faire.
For the first time.
Both, good for you,
both
Alan.
Both times for the first time.
At both times with a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you actually sired in the usual fashion.
Yes.
Those things have never happened before.
What do you mean have never happened?
You haven't sired your daughters in the usual fashion.
Well, I never.
You've been denying women your essence.
I've only done that once. So.
That was my ultimate joke. Now, to be fair, yes, I used to work at an anime con, and yeah, there was a whole lot of sex going on at those.
Oh,
things.
I'm sure.
But the old joke is, yeah, nerds don't get much pussy.
Some of it was actually between humans.
You know, seeing the Renaissance Fair, somebody's getting something.
Somebody's certainly selling it, that's for sure. There's certainly some of it on the market.
Or in some cases, I'm pretty sure they were giving it away. I saw lots of I guess I'll call them crypto furries or something. There were like people like wearing tails and, you know.
That's not crypto furry. That's the real thing.
Yeah, but they weren't like in full furry.
Well, yeah, though, but those are like the super varsity ones. Those fursuits are like crazy expensive. So, So I mean, to own like a sports team mascot animal suit is a lot of damn money, especially some of these like really crazy, like anatomically correct ones that are out there. Yeah, no, that's huge money. So, yeah, most of the people
you seem remarkably knowledgeable about this subject.
Again, anime convention was loaded to the gills with furries.
Oh,
I'm a field biologist. I like to study their habits.
Oh no.
So yeah. So yeah. No, no. When a average Joe blue collar furry sees somebody wandering around in the gigantic fursuit, they kind of go, "Oh man, if only." It's kind of like at the local show shine and drag. You know, there's all these guys with the 65 and a half Mustangs or the new Mustangs or Corvettes or Camaros and all that. And then, you know, somebody shows up with like a Bentley Flying Spur or, you know, a Lamborghini or all that. Everybody else is going, oh, if only. There are some times where just money is just that you just run into money like a brick wall.
Hmm.
Interesting.
And that would be the giant fursuit.
All right.
Because everyone cares about that. Okay. Now there's a deeper understanding.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Huh. You can get into furries again, Weird.
I'm sorry.
What was that, Jay?
Are you getting into furries again?
I
still? Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah. No, it's never waxed or waned any more or less.
Oh, God.
What? I'm not into a furry, and I am not a furry, but I do find the culture extremely interesting. And I know a bunch, and they're cool.
From like Diane Fossey type viewpoint?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, exactly like that.
Studying them in their native habitat. Well, anyway, that was my...
Anyway.
That was very, my big weekend.
Cool. Woohoo. So it sounds like Brita's feeling better. You have deplagued.
I have, yeah.
That's good. You sounded like crap last week.
Yeah. Though
nobody else heard that because you never made the actual like non screwed up show.
I was I don't know what was wrong with me. I think I don't know. There was a thing going around work, and I caught it, but I didn't catch it enough to like actually get the full blown head cold that everybody else had. But I still had like a virus. My body was fighting off, so it was, you know, still not fun.
I know, but that sensation. Get these weakened kid viruses, are they?
Yeah, it's like you're tired down, you and like you're shit. Achy and you're, it's like you're sick, but you're not sick enough to say you're sick. Mm. You know, it's stupid. Yeah.
So. I hate that. You know, you're thankful that you're not full blown sick, but you kind of wish you were bad enough that you could say, you know, fuck this, I can't go to work today.
Yeah, I want to stay home, and yeah.
This is worthy of a sick day.
Yeah, I know. I even worked out last week when I was sick, and I managed to like almost rip off my fingernail, and I was tired, and like my workout didn't go well, and I'm thinking there is something wrong with me, and I just you know, I can't justify staying home and laying in bed all day. So, but I pushed through. I'm a trooper.
I can always justify staying in bed all day. Staying in bed all day is just too fucking awesome to not do.
I'm good this week, though. I'm, you know, much better.
All right. Oh, by the way, Brita, I made the salsa pork again.
I did, too.
It's such a good recipe.
I know. I made it the other night. I had leftovers tonight. It was perfect.
Oh, shit. I forgot to say this last week. And since it tis the season, I've got to again say, I think this should be announced every fall. What? Is... I cannot scrape the ice off my windshield without thinking of Alan.
Have you had ice to scrape already?
Oh, God.
Why are you thinking about me?
Because you were from your ice scraper.
Yeah, your story of somebody left their cleaning brush in the trunk of my rental car.
Oh.
What is this strange device? You're like Ariel and the Little Mermaid with a fork.
That's, yeah, pretty much.
What is this sorcery?
We had snow a couple weeks ago, a couple Saturdays ago. We had snow.
We haven't had snow, but we've had just a lot of like really damn cold days and really cold nights.
Yeah.
And now it was in the 70s today. It was like tropical.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. We went to the zoo.
Yeah, seriously, take advantage. It's not going to last.
No, it is not. No, it is not. I'm amazed it's not like flash freezing right now and the lake's icing over.
Man, I'm on the move.
Shh.
Halloween's coming right around the corner, so it's about time to get a foot of snow on the ground as far as
what is the baby going to be for Halloween?
She is a ladybug. Actually, I could go into my segment of adorableness. Oh, my goodness. Well,
go right ahead.
So our town, I don't really get how this works or all that, but whatever, I will take advantage of it. Our town has a Chamber of Commerce Halloween was this evening, and it was like 4 to 7, and it's just businesses that choose to participate can open their doors and give candy to kids that are trick-or-treating.
Oh yeah, we do that here too. It's called Willow Boo or something instead of Willow Bee. We say Willow Boo, and
amazing.
Will be.
So, amazing turnout, and it's all super duper young kids.
Yep.
And all of that. But my daughter has no damn concept of Halloween.
Oh.
We just got, you know, we just crossed the street into, you know, into essentially the main town, you know, downtown section of town, and there's a hair salon right there on the corner, and a woman sees her and goes, oh, like, we didn't even know that they were actually giving out candy. It didn't look that obvious. A woman comes out to the door and drops a bag of M&Ms into my daughter's Halloween bucket, and she immediately just reached into the bucket and pulled them out and went, oh, and was just looking at it and went, oh, open this. I'm like, no, we're going to get more. No. Open. Like, she was done. That was mission accomplished. One shot, one kill. She, you know, mission accomplished. We're heading back to base.
Dad, I got M&Ms.
My wife pulled an ET and just ripped the M&Ms open and would essentially walk down the street a little bit and hold one out, and she'd come up and get it, and we just lure her down the way to the next place. But we ended up getting, like, I think 4 pieces of candy and 2 little, you know, cheapo toys. And that was the extent of our Halloween haul.
And she was happy.
Oh, I mean, she just, again, no concept of it whatsoever. Just no idea that, no, you're supposed to, like, complete, you know, it's supposed to be a score. It's a plunder. Nope, just, you know, all right, come on, let's go get food. I mean, I guess if you want to get candy here, I'll comply. I won't struggle.
She was thrilled to get what she got.
I wouldn't say no to more M&Ms, Dad. Yeah.
Yep.
We experienced that last year with the, you know, we're in a very tight subdivision, and there's like hundreds of houses, hundreds. My daughter came back after 20 minutes with a pillowcase filled with candy.
Oh, dear. Wow.
My son he's a freshman in high school, and he wants to go trick-or-treating. He's my height. I'm like, dude, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I think that's not going to work. I think the last time I went, I went to trick-or-treating, I think it was freshman or sophomore year in high school. And that was, literally, we were out for like 4 hours and just like covered probably like 8 or 9 miles of road and came back with like half a pillowcase filled with candy. So, like, yeah, that haul almost seems unsporting. That's hunting over bait.
You've seen my where I used to live, and that street.
Yes.
You know, it's like a half mile long, and there's like maybe 12 houses on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And like, there's more houses in the, like, connected to my property at this point. So if the kids go a mile, they've hit, you know, like 50 houses. Man. So, you know, naturally they're going to have enough chocolate to last them until Christmas.
We have a caller.
Hey.
The caller still works, huh?
Area code 508. I know
it. Hey, it's the Arctic Elf.
Yes, it is.
I know that guy.
He's going to need his own music soon.
That's right.
MDiv. I think we've been abandoned by MDiv.
No, it's been a while. He's still
listening. I don't know. He might be in the queue behind me.
I bet he is.
But that was Raddus.
Ah.
So what's up, Arctic Elf?
I had a serious comment and a funny comment.
Oh, shit. Serious. Okay.
Well, so the serious one was this. From a couple weeks ago, Obama's, I'm not going to tell you the numbers. Go look up the numbers yourself. Thing about gun deaths versus deaths from terrorism since 2001 or whatever that bullshit was.
Yep.
And at least on my Facebook feed, that turned into gun-hating liberals, most of whom who are, you know, engineers or computers or biology types, actually looking at data and going, huh, this doesn't pass the sniff test. What the fuck?
Tell me more.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, and then, of course, it kind of died because the cognitive dissonance kicked in. But I don't know if anybody else saw that or had that happen, but I probably saw a dozen conversations like that where people who could, you know, after the Connecticut incident, after the Colorado incidents, were like, yeah, ban all the guns. We have to do something. I'm a gun owner, but I'm a hunter, but.
Yeah, I actually don't have any gun-hating friends, so.
No, well, Jay and Weir should be better for this since they actually used to live in Massachusetts.
Yeah, no, actually, I didn't really – I've actually never really heard a whole lot beside it. Just I kind of just dismissed it and didn't really look any further because it's one of those like – this is like an apples and oranges comparison because, I mean, number one, I mean, Obama's statement about it was, oh, look at all of what we've done, you know, after 9/11 to combat terrorism. And – but my answer is, but it didn't fucking do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, but it's also one of those things of like, even in Israel, they've got to have more people killed by just street crime
right.
than by actual like, I mean, it's not even terrorist action. It's, you know, acts of war for, you know, in the case of them, you know, I mean, they're, it, you know, in direct war with Palestine. So, you know, and it still doesn't even add up. So it's at the same time, like, even if it was a valid comparison, it's not a valid comparison. So what were the numbers? I didn't actually really even look into the numbers. What were the numbers that you found or other people found?
Well, there's, I mean, pick your level of bullshit for gun death numbers that people found and were linking. And of course, CNN and Salon all had pieces that were linking to it. And then, of course, you know, the deaths from terrorism were like zero or one.
38. You know, it was in the 30s, I remember.
Yeah, depending. Yeah, again, there were some that were probably more accurate. They were, sure, low 30s, something like
you
that.
Know,
there's not huge discrepancies between the orders of magnitude difference between the numbers. But inevitably, when somebody said, yeah, and here's the CDC or here's the FBI overall violent crime. And here's the CDC link. 60% of those gun deaths are suicide. And, you know, here, whatever, 40% of the remainder, I think, are both of the involved parties were already felons.
Right.
Is, I think, the national average. So that leaves, like, less than 10% of the total that is actually like anyone you actually know, unless you hang out with felons or drug dealers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing how many gunfights you can avoid if you don't hang out with felons and drug dealers.
Right.
It is.
Oh, I mean, it's one of those like, you know, you can avoid being shot very, very well by just avoiding being, you know, a criminal yourself.
Yep.
Because yeah. Let's face it. Someone's going to eat lead tonight. They're probably it's the shooting is going to be a gangland hitter versus another gangland hitter.
Right. Or it's going to be like the high school girl from Chicago who sung at Obama's inauguration and got shot outside her building 3 days later because all of her friends were gangland hitters.
Yeah.
And oh, what a tragedy! Well, maybe, but
yeah. But I mean, the even the instances where there's a drive by and a bullet goes through a door or a window and hits the little old lady watching TV, you know, that evening, those stories are like national newsworthy incidents. I mean, it's one of those like even like the innocent bystanders that happen to live in the slums,
right?
Are, you know, I mean, if it was so bad that no, just anybody even in contact with these gang members or all that, we wouldn't have these, you know, these downtrodden sections of cities, these inner city holdouts that are like, no, fuck it. This is where I grew up. This is my house. I'm not leaving because the gang, just because the gangs have taken it over.
Well,
I mean, it's just that's the liberals always painted. It's just one of those like, oh, America's such a super dangerous place, but really it isn't.
You take those four cities out of the picture and we're suddenly safer than anywhere.
Yeah. Well, we're right up there with Scandinavia. Yeah. We're right up there with Northern European countries.
Cool.
And look at Detroit since they inherited Portland's police chief. Boy, didn't that backfire for somebody.
Yep. Whoops.
So the funny comment was going off of Weird's Halloween story.
Mm-hmm.
We had Ragnar's birthday party a couple weekends ago. And he is now a normal 2-year-old. Story on him. But he got the first present and he opened it. And then just wanted to take it out of the box and play with it.
The box?
No. The toy. He understood the concept. Take the toy out of the box, throw the box away, play with the toy. He did not understand the concept that all that other stuff in colored paper.
Yes.
That you're
supposed
to open that too.
Right. My son did the very same thing his first Christmas.
What's that?
My son did the very same thing right around that age on Christmas. You open up the first thing, and then it's like, Dad, take this out. I'm like, no, bud. You got more things to open.
Yeah, no, open it.
Yeah, you know, like we could have saved a lot of money by just getting you one toy.
That probably would have been happy. Like La Weirda would have been happy with that one. You know, we could have gone home after that one M&M's package.
And honestly, we practically did. We hit three or four other places, and it was just one of those, like, if we walked past a place and it was getting mobbed, because it was a huge turnout, we just went, nope, move on to the next place. We went by the library, and that was just a complete zoo. And we were about to go in, and I just went, come on, let's just keep going. Let's just go home. And
leave the poor librarians alone.
She said, I want to go to the library. And I said, no, not right now, honey. And she was actually totally fine. At first, I'm like, oh, don't push back too hard because we'll go. I mean, the librarians were having fun. I mean, everyone was having fun. There was definitely nobody was like, oh, God, all these kids. And
you're saying is that your library has better drugs than the one where Brita works.
Yeah.
And then what was also hilarious was there's a really nice restaurant. It was like the last place we passed before we turned back home. And I went, ooh, we can go by the really nice restaurant and see what they're giving out for candy. And as we walked up, we realized that there were two kids that were in charge of giving out the candy. So you couldn't tell. They were younger kids. So couldn't tell if they were players or participants. So they gave her some candy, and then she went, no, I want to go inside the restaurant. I want to eat there.
Oh, nice. No candy.
I mean, she was eating a lollipop at the time.
Cute.
Well,
that we had told her not to open, and she found a way.
They always do.
Who wants to skip second dinner for a lollipop?
Thanks for calling, Archie.
All right, have a good day.
Bye.
Didn't skip dinner either. We got pizza afterwards, and yeah, no, she was very thoroughly stuffing her face.
It's pizza, of course.
Yeah,
it's like the Halloween dinner of kings.
Candy first, then pizza.
Exactly.
Make it like a little parfait, then throw some candy on top of that just to make sure it stays down.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like the one and for us, both Monday and Tuesday, the kids are off. Tuesday because it's election day, and Monday's an in-service day, meaning, you know, the teachers get a 4-day weekend. So it's like they get to go out Saturday night for Halloween, and then they get 3 more days off.
Hmm.
I said, man, you guys just luck out.
But it was also nice that, A, we got an extra day out of the costume, and, B, we got a little dry run for this Halloween thing. So maybe she has a couple of days to think about it. Maybe she'll get the idea a little bit better. So maybe Saturday will work a little better. We won't be out very late anyway, though, because, yeah, her bedtime's at like 7.
Yeah, that's – well, of course – The weird thing is we're not, this year, we're not doing daylight saving time until, was it November 1st?
Yeah, this weekend. My favorite day of the year.
So you're going to have the dark. I mean, of course, I don't know what time the sun set up there. It may not matter to you.
The sun sets around like 2 in the afternoon.
He's not exaggerating. It's really...
All right. So up there, that's it bad. Doesn't matter.
No, not really. It's, we wake up in the dark and we get home from work in the dark and it's, you know.
Brita and I have had that discussion about the regional differences in Halloween costuming. Where,
oh my gosh! Where
up there, you're concerned with what is it? Whether you're how to work your coat into your costume?
Yeah. Well, will your costume fit over your coat?
Right.
Whereas, I remember one year. Actually, it was more than one year. I think my mom decided that I was going to be a clown for Halloween.
Oh God.
Well, it was a really great costume for that though, because it was like basically just like a pull on kind of jumpsuit thing. And my mom had sewed it and, it was like a one piece thing and you pulled it on over your clothes and you could wear whatever you wanted underneath and you're really warm. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would have thought that your mom actually shanked a real clown.
Well, you know, that was plan B.
You never know.
In case the costume didn't work out. Yeah.
Whereas down in Texas on Halloween, you're usually worried about your costume being too hot.
Ugh.
And sweating to death underneath it.
Evidently not with the today's costumes, because now it's all pretty much my costume is prostitute.
Yeah, the kids aren't doing that though.
Our next door neighbor was complaining about her her daughter's 8, and yeah, just going. It's all whore costumes.
Yeah.
And Caitlyn Jenner, don't forget Caitlyn.
Oh. That's what I need to. That's what I need to be. I'm always stuck with what Halloween costume can I wear that works with a beard. Caitlyn Jenner works beautifully.
Yes.
Oh, that's perfect. You should definitely do that.
What are you? I'm Caitlyn. I'm Caitlyn Jenner, and I prefer female pronouns.
That's right.
Just get the white dress and you're done.
Yep.
Honestly speaking, I should just put on my barn coat and a pair of jeans and like put on some like LL Bean, you know, hiking boots and just pretty much and just wear a sign around my neck that says Caitlyn Jenner.
I thought you were going to say you're going to trade the mom wagon in on a Subaru Forester.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Well, LL Bean barn coat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
No. Yeah, no. I just meant it. Just the fact that, yeah, no. All that, you know, you can put all that lipstick on and polish on, and no, you're still a dude. Still a dude. Sorry,
Mike is so old school. He's like, why can't these people just be cross dressers like in the old days?
You know, like RuPaul. Whatever happened to RuPaul? We long for the conservatism of RuPaul.
I was like, I think it's like totally different things. Like,
wait a minute. Isn't he the new Speaker of the House, RuPaul Ryan?
Oh, RuPaul Ryan.
That would be awesome.
Man. I need to see like a Photoshop of that.
And by the way, yeah, for Mike. I think the statement is the difference between a cross-dresser and a transgendered individual is the difference between the mascot at the basketball game and the furry that's wearing the same mascot outfit at the convention.
Oh, God.
Yeah. One just dresses up for the shows and the other one lives it.
It becomes kind of like Rorschach from the Watchmen. When he puts the mask on, he's putting on his face. Yeah. When he takes off the mask, that's putting on his mask. His face is the mask.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tell Mike He'll be horrified when the
furry takes off the fur suit and puts on the shirt and tie and goes into the like insurance adjustment office. They are wearing a disguise.
Yeah, that is the disguise.
Aren't we all though?
Yep.
I know I do.
Well,
wear a fur suit?
No, wear a disguise to work.
What's your personality?
My work disguise is an employee that gives a shit.
I got an excellent employee review today.
Yes, you did.
For reals, like what you really want? Great.
Snowed him for another year, Brita.
Yeah, right. this is a testament to my self control. Really, I am a master of self control. There's no other explanation, really.
Did they compliment you on your near art like ability to roust hobos?
Yes, actually.
Oh, beautiful!
Yes, hooray! Actually, that was actually one of the points on my employee review. My boss said that I was one of the most proactive people on dealing with patrons who exhibited inappropriate behavior, mostly. Yeah. That's like nice speak for I am the one who has balls and will go up to a patron and say, get out now.
Get out.
Nobody else will do it.
Well,
the
difference is you look forward to it.
With a healthy race.
It makes my day when I get to do that.
Please tell me that after you get done with this, you're going to go down to the strip club and you're going to make it rain.
Yeah. No. But, you know, employee review, yay, doesn't change anything for me. You know, it's not like I'll get a raise or pat on the back or anything like
The universally accepted sign of employee appreciation is money. Nothing else matters.
Yeah. Talk is cheap. I don't care what you think of me. Yep. Give me the money.
You're a great worker.
Okay.
Yep, no, that's what I always say. Hey, good thing you guys pay me, because otherwise I wouldn't fucking show up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always get the person in the office is like, hey, are we having fun now? And my response is always, if it was fun, they wouldn't pay you to be here.
True.
I disagree, but...
Shut up, Jay.
Yes, Jay, shut up.
Hey, Brita, what you cooking?
I kind of like that. The Brita, what you cooking segment.
It's like all hee-haw. You remember that? Hey, Grandpa, what's for dinner? Hey, Brita, what you cooking?
This is more like breakfast. Although I suppose you could eat it any time of the day.
McDonald's has gone breakfast all day, and I
know.
Do not give
it's
shit.
So weird. McDonald's is hurting so badly.
Yeah, but who wants to go there to eat?
Ugh. Can we just say that about McDonald's? Like, they are failing so miserably because their food just tastes like crap.
It's really gone downhill.
It's really bad.
Has it gone downhill? Because I was going to say I went through a phase where. I mean, I was never a big McDonald's person. I mean, my parents treated me like I treat my daughter now of the, oh, yeah, we're going to go out. We're going to take you to a restaurant and we're going to order our food. And maybe they'll order something, you know, aside for me or there. But, you know, as a general rule, actually, my parents, they would just cut off pieces of their food. And
exactly. That was my parenting, too.
And all that. So, like, by the time I was old enough to kind of, you know, request food on my own thing. I wanted to go to a steakhouse. I wanted a nice piece of steak in front of me. Plus also both my parents cooked. So
my big thing when I was a kid, I loved crab legs. I still love crab legs, but when I was a kid, I was obsessed with crab legs. Huh. Like my parents would take me out. It was a thing in our family that you got to go out to dinner on your birthday, wherever you wanted to go. Every time it was my birthday, I wanted to go to Red Lobster and get the all-you-can-eat crab legs. That's all I wanted. Crab legs. Yeah.
Man, Brita, I got to tell you, I remember being out on a boat in the North Atlantic looking at a pile that was probably, maybe a 6-foot circle and 3 feet tall of nothing but crabs and going, boy, I wish I liked crab because this right here is a golden opportunity as I had a big – had a big old snow shovel and was just shoveling them over the side.
Oh my God.
Like them. They're too, they've got this sweet taste to them. That's just cloying to my mouth.
Oh my God.
It's like eating frosting out of the can.
I'm not sure if McDonald's is actually worse, although I think they are actually worse.
No, I think the American palate has changed.
I think the comparison.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Chick-fil-A, you've got Whataburger, you've got all these other places that are so much better.
Five Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And McDonald's just can't stand up to it.
This is what it was. I was never a heavy, like my story ago, I was never a heavy McDonald's person. And then I went through a phase of maybe 5 years or so where I just, I don't think I ever really went into one. And it was one of those, like, the only time I ever went into a McDonald's was when I was doing like a long road trip, and it'd be like, oh, it's lunchtime. Oh, there's a McDonald's on the next exit. There's a Wendy's on the next exit. All right, time to pull over. We'll grab some greasy food. We'll eat it quick, and then we'll hop back on the road. And my wife started going, you know what? Let's go Subway. It's a, you know, you can get a little bit of a, you know, some lighter options instead of just the big greasy thing. And I kind of protested, but whatever, that's how it happened. And so it was like maybe 5 years that I didn't really touch McDonald's until finally it was one of those, the veil lifted for a period. It was like, oh, let's go to McDonald's. Awesome. Oh yeah. Well, can you finally go back to McDonald's and get the greasy, disgusting, horrible food and all that? And it was just fucking lousy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one of those, like, I would much rather eat Subway, and Subway's fucking lousy. So
McDonald's always just kind of made me feel sick afterwards. Like, ugh.
Yep. About the only thing I ever got with any sort of regularity at McDonald's
is dysentery.
Was the sausage biscuit. And I know for a fact that the quality of the sausage biscuit has dropped a lot. It's not anywhere near as good as it used to be.
But you know what McDonald's does have? They have actually reasonably good salads.
Really?
Yep. The salads are not terrible.
They actually say that McDonald's salads is one of the reasons they're failing.
Really?
Yes, because people don't go to McDonald's for salads.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I've, like, I said really with that question is I've never had a McDonald's salad.
Right.
Just because it's like, I remember going into
that salad to your cow, Jay?
What? No. I get one when I'm forced to go to McDonald's with my children. Oh. You know, like when we're doing the road trip up north, we swing in, you know, we stop at a rest area. And the kids are starving. It's like, okay, you know, you guys get burgers and whatnot, and I'll grab a salad. And that's,
I just remember back to like my early days as a freshly minted drinker going into a brew pub and ordering a martini and realizing that was a really terrible idea.
Yeah, don't do that in a brew pub.
Do not do that.
Yeah.
Can I have a glass of wine?
So,
please?
Anyway, Brita, anyway, your breakfast item?
I have yet another 2-ingredient recipe.
Awesome.
Which
that could be a thing.
Oh, no. That's too hard.
2-ingredient recipes?
No. Well, when I come up with them, I'll do them. But 2-ingredient recipes that are actually, like, you know, better than peanut butter and jelly or, you know. And that's even 3 ingredients. That's bread, peanut butter, and jelly. So, anyway. But my 2-ingredient recipe today is pancakes. Or kind of like a pancake substitute. I guess you would say they were paleo. They're also gluten-free, which for me is good because I'm trying to do the gluten-free thing. It's 2 eggs and a banana. So you take your banana and you mash it up and you add 2 eggs and you whip it up really good and you make sure everything's, you know, mixed up really well, and you put it in the skillet like pancake batter. It works best if you make them really small pancakes, because the batter is very delicate and soft. But once you get like the bottom side cooked, they flip really easy, and you have like a pancake substitute if people, you know, don't want to have flour, if they are on the paleo diet. I mean, obviously you have to really like bananas because it tastes like bananas, but it is so delicious. And the texture is like, you know, when you have French toast and the inside of the French toast is like that really soft, like after you've let the eggs soak in the bread and everything, and then you cook the French toast, the inside of the French toast is like that really soft, lovely kind of custardy texture. That's what these egg banana pancakes are like. So good. I added cinnamon and vanilla to mine the first time. And then the second time I did cinnamon and like a teaspoon of peanut butter. That was really good. They're really forgiving. So, and delicious, I thought. Is anybody listening?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know if anybody was there. I'm just talking.
No, I want one now.
They're really good. And they're so sweet with the banana that you don't even really need to add syrup. I don't know. I thought they were really great. I like bananas. So maybe, you know, but you get the banana and you get the protein of the eggs and they're easy to make and delicious. And actually the two eggs and one banana makes like more than you would think they'd make. So you have like a whole pile of like this, like pancake stuff to eat. Just, you know, out of that. It's great. I don't know.
I don't really like bananas, but I'm now very much regretting that I threw away the two black bananas that were sitting on my counter.
You know, actually, I added the peanut butter and it kind of cut the banana flavor a lot. Okay. So, you know, just play with it. I don't know. You could probably even add cocoa powder if you like chocolate.
So is this a good use for the ultra squishy black bananas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I will have to save that for, because I never, my daughter eats bananas so sporadically. Like,
oh,
some
she would
days,
love these pancakes.
Some days she loves pancakes. She would love them, but she, some days she will bang out like one or two bananas in a day. And then other times she will eat like, I'll buy a bunch of them and she'll eat maybe one before they all turn black.
Huh.
Kids
banana
will do
baby.
That. They'll get favorites and they'll want, I want to have this every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you'll buy a couple and they'll get eaten instantly. And you buy a couple more and they get eaten instantly. And then you buy the BJ's multi-pack and they hate them. Like, ah. Yeah.
I bought a living ass load of apples at the store because they were just dumping a ton of them. They were just dumping them in the street.
They're paying you to take them.
It's like, apple season.
It really was. It was all in like the scratch and dent thing. So I've got like some crazy, like, you know, funky organic varieties that are really damn good and all that stuff. And I just, like, when I was unpacking them from the grocery store into my fruit bowl, I went, geez, maybe I shouldn't have bought nearly so many apples. So I've been like just absolutely stuffing my daughter with them and she's been enjoying them.
Here, have another apple.
Yeah. If all you got to do is start reaching for an apple and start eating it. Oh, I want an apple. Okay, cool. Here you go. You want me to peel it and cut it up or do you just want it like this? Oh, I'll take it like this. She'll take a couple bites. Yeah, peel it and cut it up.
Yeah.
I think we're...
I'm also making my own hot sauce this week. So I'm going to report back on that next week. Cool. Actually, I did...
What are you putting in it? Just tease it.
I did... serrano peppers, really ripe serrano peppers, jalapenos, ginger, ginger and garlic. And I am lacto fermenting the peppers like you would do sauerkraut.
Nice.
So it will, like, hopefully I'm hoping it kind of like mellows out a little bit of the heat because initially it was really, really hot, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I think I'm going to bottle it this weekend or something.
Well, sriracha's aged, so I got to imagine that's fermented.
Yeah, I don't know. But this is – I chopped up all the peppers with the garlic and the ginger, and I put it in the, you know, the salt water brine so that it would lacto-ferment. And it got all bubbly, and it did its thing just like sauerkraut does. And so I don't know. I haven't tasted it. We'll see.
By the way, always, Brita.
Yeah.
Do you have much Indian food around your neck?
Yeah.
There is a food item that has just popped into my head that is dosas. And
yeah,
that's essentially – you know, you hate them?
Well, I don't think I can eat them now with the gluten and stuff.
I don't think there's any gluten in them. I think they're made of fermented lentils.
Oh, really?
I know it's a fermented –
I thought dosas were like the crepe that were made out of
fermented crepe made from rice batter and black lentils.
Oh, awesome. I thought it was like
staple dish of South Indian states.
Well, I will get right on that.
And I discovered that it's also a breakfast food, which is one of those like that's totally my style. I'm Commander Savory Breakfast. I had a burrito for breakfast this morning.
Nice. Yeah, I am too.
I may have another burrito for breakfast tomorrow.
Rice batter and black lentils.
Yep.
Huh.
And it's fermented. So therefore you've got to love it because if bacteria fuck with it first, then burrito loves it.
I do. It's really weird. Although I had a batch of sauerkraut, I just had to throw it away because it was stinking up my whole refrigerator. I think it started smelling like sauerkraut beer. And I thought, well, that's probably not good with the yeast and whatever's happening in there. Yeah. So I threw it out. Not good. I'm going to try kimchi next. Kimchi is my next thing.
Nice.
Anyway, I probably should have been like a kitchen chemist or something. Because I do so many kitchen experiments, but
there's always time, Brita.
I know.
You can tell the hobos that they can turn the library into their filthy fucking Warren because you're gonna go on Food Network and make the big money.
That would be nice.
Hey, you look good on camera. I'm just saying.
Aw, well, thanks.
You can't be dumpy and be on the Food Network. They don't have any dumpy chefs.
I already suggested Brita Kitchen, you know, kitchen chemistry.
YouTube channel.
Yeah, you'd fill that void left from Alton Brown's Good Eats when he left.
You could put on a lab coat and goggles.
And have the goggles. They do nothing.
And have like dry ice, you know, in the background for your
the Jacob's ladder
dressing.
You got to have the Jacob's ladder.
And you can talk about fermenting and all that kind of stuff. That'd be awesome.
Okay. I'll be famous on the internet.
Yeah. Again. Yeah.
Just what I want.
More trolls.
You get Alan to snort. So that's something.
Well, I'm done for the evening.
Yep. Yeah. We're done. We're over
Thanks,
time.
Guys.
We're
done.
Actually, yeah, the whole idea of Brita in the kitchen, though, because again, you kick some ass with these recipes. They're pretty cool. Like, I can't wait to make the do a blog post on the banana pancakes so I can look it back up when I get some.
Okay.
When I get
some
bananas.
I'm going to make them for breakfast. I'm making them for breakfast tomorrow. So
okay.
I'll take pictures and stuff. I'll put it up.
Awesome. I appreciate that because yeah, okay. I'll want to re-reference them, and I'm sure there's other people that are just like, oh my God, I'm not going to like re-listen to this podcast at breakfast time tomorrow morning so that I can make my pancakes.
One banana, two eggs.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah.
How much peanut butter?
A teaspoon, a heaping teaspoon. I don't know. However
you're lucky.
You like.
You're lucky to get exactly two eggs and one banana out of Brita. All right. She is the queen of a pinch of this and a dash of that and cook it till it's done.
Well, I've been cooking. I have been cooking, like, actually cooking food for, like, meals since I was 12. So, and that was only seriously out of self-preservation because at that point my mom went back to college and she was going to, like, night school and stuff. And it was my dad and I, we had to fend for ourselves in the, you know, for supper. And my dad was the worst cook, like, just... I mean, even like microwaving stuff, he was just the worst. And so I decided that I was going to start cooking because I could not eat what he made. So it became my job. And, you know, I started out with really simple little recipes, like the stuff I give Alan, you know. And I've been cooking since then, I guess. Anyway.
Oh, before we go, Larry Correa is coming to the Burlington Mall in Massachusetts on this Sunday, November 1st. And so
are you going?
I'm absolutely going.
Cool.
I'm absolutely going, and I'm giving him a score report business card.
Yay!
Right. Give him a sticker. Give him a sticker.
I'll give him a bunch of stickers.
Yeah.
I'll stick them all over him.
I don't think you have enough.
Tell him you have this really cool podcast and we'd love to have him on.
I definitely want to get him on. We got to interview him, but the, But yeah, so if there's any listeners to the Squirrel Report who are in my area who are interested in going to see Larry Correa, shoot me an email at, you know, weirdbeard@gmail.com. So yeah, we'll make it a patty.
That'd be fun.
Woohoo. All right.
Because we don't have JG, the social butterfly of the blogosphere, anymore to plan a Larry Correa meet and greet.
That's right.
We miss you, Jay.
He doesn't do that for anything anymore.
Yeah, that's because everyone comes to him. Because he lives in the giant golden mecca that has a range in its basement. And like he can shoot 22.
Yes.
They have 22 there?
That's where it's all gone.
Yeah, it's all the NRA's hog of a 22.
Mm-hmm. Jay, how much 22 is in the magic locker by your estimation?
I'm actually forbidden from state.
See? See? It's a pan.
And then it would like be considered hunting
stockpile.
For bait,
so.
Is there actually an NDA? I mean, you don't have to say it, but is there an actual NDA on that?
No. Ironically, we don't have a lot of 22. We really don't. We've got a couple of bricks and then, you know, half a dozen boxes from, you know, three or four manufacturers. It's tough. It really is, because it's hard to evaluate any rimfire stuff.
Well, not any rimfire stuff. 22 Winchester Magnum and 17 HMR and all that. I mean, I go to the 22 thing and I'm like, oh, look, they got 22. Oh, wait, no, they're just putting the other random rimfire shit in the 22 shelf.
Yep.
22 short. Apparently there's a shooting gallery closed down somewhere from the 1920s.
Yeah, it'll work.
You know what we have an absolute ton of is 300 blackout. And it's really humorous because the only 300 blackout I own is a single shot. You can try to shoot a lot out of a single shot. It ain't going to work.
What do you got for a single shot in 300 blackout?
I have a CVA scout.
Huh.
Their CVA is like real big in muzzle loaders, and they also make single shot rifles. Very, very much like.
Please tell me you got a can on that.
What's that? It's coming.
Oh, God. I can't want a single shot in 300 blackout. That is so fucking quiet.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you actually might need ear protection just for the sound of that bullet digging into the berm.
Actually, I got a chance to try it out this past weekend. My buddy, the gun enthusiast, has a 300 blackout can. And we put it on the CVA scout and we fired it with subsonic ammo. And it was like, poof. It was really cool.
Well, that was like that blog shoot where the guy brought the Thompson Encore in 45 yes. ACP with a can like, that had to have been a foot and a half long. The can was gigantic. And it just literally, you heard the hammer hitting the primer and then a shovel full of dirt falling down the berm.
Yeah. And I think we all took off our hearing protection and we were all like, wow.
That was the whole thing. Yeah. And then Wally brought up his little 9mm sub gun, which is alarmingly quiet, but it sounded like the Pinto engine on my Ford Ranger. Attack it.
And maybe those will be off the NFA soon. Who knows?
Oh,
gosh, yes. I hope so.
It is not going to happen, but you know what?
Yeah, we can hope.
The fact that they're trying,
it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
it is a shot across the bow.
Well, it's just always better to. I mean, we've lived long enough to all seen when we were just on the defense, where all we were doing was just trying to keep anti-gun laws from becoming law. And nowadays,
and failing.
Yeah, nowadays anti-gun laws are just burning up in the atmosphere, and our pro-gun laws are there on the defense trying to keep our pro-gun laws from becoming law, and they're failing. So I'll you know, even if they don't all get through, but you know what? I'll take where we are now from where we were then. Yep. Hopefully we'll eventually stomp them into the motherfucking dirt, especially with this whole like, oh, we're just going to concentrate on background checks. Good. Background checks are going to be the hill you're going to die on.
And that's a good place for us to die on.
So, yeah. All right. Good night, Internet.
See y'all next week.
Good night.